Part three of our sermon series on the book of Hebrews. We're going verse by verse and chapter by chapter, and I trust that the Lord has spoken to you through this series of messages. You know, I really like to read stories of faithful Christians and missionaries, and I love to read their stories. They inspire me. Their courage and their faithfulness motivate me in my life to be faithful. And so one story that I read this week was the story of a missionary named John Getty. And I didn't know anything about John. I didn't know anything about his story. But here's kind of the gist of what he did. In the 1840s, John Getty was a pastor in Canada, and he left his pastorate and he took his wife and his two small children to the South Sea Islands and began a mission there, began mission work there. So after a voyage of thousands of miles, they arrived in the New Hebrides Islands. And this is an island chain that at that time was filled with cannibals, people that were not very good, heathens. And more than 20 crew members of a British ship had already been killed and eaten just months before the Gettys arrived on this new mission field. But they felt called to go. They felt inspired by the Holy Spirit to go. And so they went and they faced difficulty of learning a new language. There was no formal written language, or no formal way to teach the language there. And so they had that obstacle. Obviously, there was the constant threat of being killed there. And slowly at first, they began to see some new converts. The Lord blessed, and they began to see some new people coming to know Christ. And soon, many more received the gospel there on those chain of islands. And Getty continued his ministry faithfully, including being able to translate the entire Bible into their native language. And he planted 25 churches. For many of those years, John Getty labored with little help from home, little word from home, but God was faithful to his servant. And in the pulpit of one of the churches that Getty pastored for so many years and those islands stands a plaque in his honor, which says this: when he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathens. What a blessing. What an encouragement. John Getty was faithful. He was courageous in the face of great danger. And our passage this morning speaks of faithfulness, and I want us to talk about that today. So let's take a look and see what God has to say to us in His Word. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Let's read it together. Therefore, holy brothers and companions in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all of God's household. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's household, as a testimony to all, or to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household, whose household we are if we hold on to the courage and confidence of our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become companions of the Messiah if we hold firmly into the end of reality which we had at start. As it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who has heard and rebelled? Wasn't it really all who came out of Egypt under Moses, and with whom he was provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So a few things we want to talk about this morning in this passage. I'm going to start with just a bold statement and then just answer some questions after that. If you want to look in your bulletin, Jen has put in there an outline that you can follow. The first thing is this, and it's something that we know very well, and it's something the writer of Hebrews reminded his readers of. Number one, Jesus was faithful. Jesus was faithful. He talks about that in verses 1 through 6. The writer of Hebrews here uses two very important terms in describing Jesus. What were they? One was an apostle. He called Jesus an apostle. He also called Jesus a high priest. The term apostle means one who is sent. And the term high priest, of course, refers to the Old Testament high priest who was the mediator between God and the people. And as we talked about last week, the high priest's job was to regularly offer animal sacrifices according to the law and to intercede to God for the forgiveness of the people's sins. It was the high priest alone that could enter the most holy place in the temple on the yearly Day of Atonement and to pray to God about the sins of the nation. And so these two terms that the writer of Hebrews uses here are very crucial, and they would have been very important to the Jewish audience that the writer is talking to. And so for the Jews, for them, the highest human religious authority was the high priest, right? The Bible talks about that, and we understand that. For Christians, the highest human religious authority were the apostles. If you go back and read through the book of Acts, the apostles were highly regarded, and they were sent by God to lead the church as it came on the scene there. And so Jesus, God's apostle and high priest, is the ultimate authority in the church. And we've been talking a lot about Jesus being the ultimate, because the theme of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. So he is the ultimate in a lot of different characters or characteristics. And so Jesus, he's God's apostle, he's God's high priest, so that makes him the ultimate authority in the church. And here, the writer tells his readers to consider Jesus. Now, maybe your translation says there in the very part of it, fix your thoughts or fix your minds on Jesus. Why are we to do that? Why are we to fix our eyes or our minds on Jesus? Why are we to consider Jesus? It's because, the writer says, Jesus was faithful. Jesus was faithful. Now, I love it here because the writer of Hebrews mentions things that his Jewish audience can understand. And he mentions Moses here. Moses was honored by the Jews as a man who faithfully served God's people, the nation of Israel, right? And so to the Jews, Moses was a great hero. They regarded him and held him up. And he had led their ancestors from Egyptian bondage to the promised land. And so they regarded him as one who was faithful. They regarded him as one who was a hero in their eyes. And so he was a prophet through whom God had given the law, and he had written the first five books of the Old Testament. So he was a guy that they looked to. But however, as faithful Moses was, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is worthy of far more glory, far more than Moses. Moses was a human servant. Jesus was God. Moses faithfully served God's people. Jesus created God's people. And he possesses the glory of God. Moses worked within the house, but Christ built the house, right? And he owns the house. Moses was a servant, but Christ was a son, and a son is far superior to a servant in the house of the king. Moses served, but Jesus rules. And so these are all ways that, yes, they were both faithful, but Jesus is far more superior to Moses. And we know that Jesus was faithful in all things that God called upon him to do. In fact, he wasn't just faithful back then. Guys, he's still faithful today. And sometimes we don't think about that. We think Jesus was a guy that lived 2,000 years ago and he walked the face of the earth and he went to the cross. He did all these great things. And it's good to recognize that. We should, obviously. But Jesus is continuing to be faithful. How? Well, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of God. And it's a place of distinction and power. It's the best seat in the house. And there in heaven, currently, right now, Jesus intercedes for us before God. He continually does that. That's what the Bible says. So he's faithful in that. He stands as our mediator. He's the go-between between us and God. He's our mediator. He functions now, okay, as the head of the church. He is not just the head of the church 2,000 years ago, but he's the head of the church now. And he leads us and he guides us through his Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was faithful, yes, but he still is faithful. And guys, I don't have to tell you this. He's our example. He's our example. And we have to follow his example and we have to be faithful in the things that God has called us to do. As we talked about last week, we have to persevere. We have to persevere just as Jesus did. Someone once said this, and I read it this week, and I don't know who said it, but he said, perseverance is the reality test for faith. Perseverance is the reality test for faith. So if we profess Christ, then we have to demonstrate faithfulness. We can say that we love Jesus, and he's our Savior and Lord, and those are just words, but the proof is in how we serve him. The proof is in our actions. So if we profess Christ, we have to demonstrate our faithfulness to him. God required faithfulness from Moses, and Moses did it. God required faithfulness of Jesus, and Jesus did it. And he requires it from us too. But here's the question, how? How can we be faithful? That's the next thing we're going to look at this morning in our scripture. And the writer of Hebrews talks about that in the remaining verses. How can we be faithful? The quick answer, okay, the short Cliff's Note answer is don't choose rebellion and don't harden your heart to God. Okay, that's the quick answer. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, Moses had led the Israelites out of years of bondage in Egypt because of their hardened hearts. And because of their lack of faith, we know the Bible tells us that an entire generation of followers wandered in the wilderness because they would not submit. They weren't faithful to God. Only two faithful men of that generation, who were they? Joshua and Caleb got to enter into the promised land. And so the writer of Hebrews is referring to that event that the Jews would have known well about. So when he uses the word harden your hearts, we hear that term a lot in the Bible. What does it mean to harden your heart? What does that term mean? Well, really it means rebelling and persisting in stubbornness. That's what hardening our heart means. So if you harden your heart to what your parents say, kids, that means you're being stubborn. You're persisting in your stubbornness. And so this generation that left Egypt, they had seen great miracles. They had witnessed these things with their eyes, but somehow they still lost their faith in God. Somehow they still chose to not follow and be faithful. They hardened their hearts. They set themselves up against God. They were stubborn. They were poised to enter the promised land, but they became afraid of the report of the walled cities and the giant men. And at that point, they rebelled. They persisted in their stubbornness and they refused to trust that God would help take them in to the promised land. They knew God was faithful. He'd been faithful to them over and over and over again. He said, this is the land that I have promised you. Go and take it. No, we're scared. There's walled city. There's giant men. We don't know if we can. Listen, I've been faithful all these times. Go take it. But they choose to be stubborn. They refused to trust God. And guys, their unbelief kept them from receiving the rewards and blessings that God had for them. The writer of Hebrews reminded his readers that God grew angry with them because his people chose rebellion. His people chose rebellion. And you know, there are a lot of people today that have this idea of God that He's only loving, He's only compassionate, He's only kind. And yes, God is all these things. He is compassionate. He is kind. He is loving. And while these things, all these things He is, the Bible says at times He also gets angry. He also gets angry. Let me just say, very bluntly, rebellion makes God angry. Rebellion makes God angry. God grew angry with the Israelites because they continually turned away from Him in their actions and in their attitudes and in their thoughts and in their beliefs. And so their hearts were hardened to the things of God. If their hearts had honored God, if they would have trusted God, if they would have been faithful, they would have gotten to enter the promised land. But rebellion led to punishment, and therefore they lost their chance to enter. How sad and how tragic that is for this generation of Israelites who chose their own way instead of God's way. They weren't faithful in the things that God had called them to. And this is why the writer of Hebrews encourages readers in verse 12 against having an unbelieving and unfaithful heart. Because guys, here's the bottom line. When we are consistently unfaithful, it causes us to turn away from God. When we are unfaithful to what God has called us to, our hearts begin to get hardened and we begin to turn away from God. Listen, this is why we need each other in the church. Listen, we all need accountability. Because every one of us here today, every one of us is prone to wander away. This is why we need accountability with one another. This is why we need to gather together in a setting like this, in Sunday school, in community groups, in Bible study, in prayer. This is why it's important that we gather together, because you and I are prone to wander and we need accountability. We need to, as verse 14 says, to hold firmly to the end. And guys, we as Christians, we have to be able to say, as Paul said so appropriately in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. The reason, or one of the ways that we can be faithful, is to not rebel against God. To not let our hearts be hardened as the Israelites were. Let's not end up like them. Let's not miss out on the blessings that God wants to give us. And I'm not saying financial blessings. I'm not saying you'll be perfect in perfect health for the rest of your life and that nothing will ever break down in your car or your house. That's not what I'm talking about here. But there is blessing that comes when we are faithful to God. And the Bible teaches that over and over and over again. Number three, another question, okay? We shouldn't be rebellious. We shouldn't let our hearts be hardened to God. How do we know if we're living in rebellion? How do we know if our hearts are hardened to the Lord? You know, there are some people that don't even begin to recognize when their hearts and when their lives are rebellious against God. We've kind of talked about this last week, and I'm going to mention it a little bit more this morning. How do we know if we're living in rebellion to God? Well, first of all, we need to know what God's Word says. We need to know what God's Word says. Guys, this is God's truth. Amen? The Bible is God's truth. There's no error in it. It is living. It continues to live. Okay? And God speaks to us through His Word. It's the inerrant Word of God. And it can be trusted in every aspect of our lives. And so we need to know what God's Word says. And as we talked about last week, if you don't know what the Bible says about sin and in the world, you may find yourself living in direct rebellion to God and not even know that you are. As we talked about last week, If you don't know what the Bible teaches about the sanctity of human life, which today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday that we recognize in our Southern Baptist churches, if you don't know what the Bible teaches about the sanctity of human life, it's going to be difficult for you to form a biblical view on the subject of abortion. If you don't know what God's Word teaches, if you don't know what the Bible teaches on the sanctity of marriage, it's going to be difficult for you to form a biblical worldview on marriage. Marriage as God sees it. And here's the thing. Being uninformed is detrimental to our faith. Being uninformed about what God's Word teaches is detrimental to our faith. It causes us to live in rebellion to God. And secondly, we have to ask God to search our hearts to see if there's any rebellion in them. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on. And we have to do what the Bible says, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He wrote, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." Sometimes we have to go before the Lord and say, "Search my heart. Show me if there's rebellion in my heart. Show me if my life doesn't match up with what God's Word says." And as we learned last week, if we want to have a consistent biblical worldview, we've got to go back to the Bible and we've got to take hold of the promises that God has made to us. And we have to realize, you know what? The world doesn't offer us anything. It's God and His Word who is the main truth in our lives. And the members of the churches that the writer wrote to, the writer of Hebrews wrote to, they were in danger of falling away from following Jesus. That's why I said, Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than the law. He's greater than all these things. They had heard the words of the gospel, but these words hadn't truly sunk in their lives. And sadly, there are many in our churches today that are in danger too, because they hear God's Word and they don't allow it to be their authority. And so their thinking begins to shift. And it's a slippery slope that always leads to brokenness. And you don't have to look very far to see our society today is shifting in what it believes about the truth. And many Christians are shifting their thinking because they don't know what God's Word says. And so they fall down this slippery slope and they begin to believe what this politician says or this group says, rather than saying, "Okay, that sounds pretty good. Let's see if it matches up with what God's Word says." If it doesn't match up with God's Word, then we have to rethink things. Let me just say, when you go to the voting booth, vote the Bible. Vote for people who will uphold God's Word. I know it's hard to find some that will. But we have to follow what God's Word teaches. I can't tell you who to vote for. But I can tell you, know what God's Word says when you go to the voting booth. And vote for people who uphold the truth of God's Word. So how do we know if we're living in rebellion to God? Know what God's Word says. It's as easy as that. And ask God to search our hearts to see if there's any rebellion. But let me carry it one step farther. Number four, what should we do if we recognize that we're living in rebellion? Okay, I read God's Word. The Holy Spirit's convicting me of something that in my life that's not quite matching up with God's Word. I've asked God to search my heart. I've asked God to reveal to me things in my life that are contrary to God's Word. Okay, what do I do next? What's the next step? What should I do if I recognize that I'm living in rebellion? Well, in one word, repent. Repent. You know, God can heal any heart once we recognize our disobedience and repent of our sins. And you see it through the Old Testament time and time and time again. When God's people would repent, when they would say, "You know what? We're going to get back on course and follow God." Guess what? God blessed them. When they didn't, there was consequences and there was punishment. And God can heal any heart Once we begin to recognize our disobedience and repent of our sins. What is repentance? Well, true repentance is more than just having, I'm determined, okay? I'm determined in my mind to not do this anymore, okay? We should be determined, but our determination is not enough many times to help get us over the hump. Repentance manifests itself in a changed heart and in a changed life. When we repent, okay, and we've probably seen the mental picture before, God turns our life in a brand new direction. Okay, we're going this way, and this way is not the way to go, and God convicts us, and we say, you know what? I don't want to go that way anymore. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to God. That's what repentance is. And it manifests itself in a heart and a life that is changing and going in a new direction. And when we do that, guys, the Bible is very clear. He restores our relationship with Him, and we begin to discover this whole new meaning and purpose in life in this broken world in which we live. Because our world is broken. Because people have rebelled against God. Christians have rebelled against God. And when we repent, He restores our relationship with Him. We begin to rediscover meaning and purpose in a broken world. And guess what? The Bible says He gives us a brand new identity. He gives us a brand new heart, essentially. And we become somebody different. But guys, the only way this happens is if we repent and we follow His Word. We don't like to hear words like repent. It's not a very fun word to talk about. It's kind of negative. But yet we need that. And many times when we're laughing and giggly, we should be wailing before God and crying out a repentance to Him. Too many people today don't have that idea of God. God is everything. He is the one that spoke this world into existence, and He wants us to follow Him. And when we recognize that we're living in rebellion, we have to ask His forgiveness. But here's the good news, guys. God forgives every time. You know why? Because He's a God of second chances. Isn't that great? Or third chance, or fourth chance, or fifth chance. He'll always forgive if we come to Him humbly. If we come to Him in a heart that is truly contrite before Him, and we humble ourselves, He will forgive us every time. One more thing that I want to share as we kind of close up shop this morning. Faith that does not result in faithfulness will never accomplish God's work. We talk a lot about faith, and faith is important. We sing about it, we read about it, we study it in Sunday school. A lot of hymns and songs are written about faith, but faith that does not result in faithfulness will never accomplish God's work. And as many of the negative things that I've talked about this morning, I want to end my time by encouraging all of you. I look around this room and I see people here that are faithful day in and day out. I see people who have been faithful to this church for years and years and years and who continue to be faithful and do things behind the scenes that nobody else knows about. A lot of times I find out about it. I've got my minions all over the place, so I hear about things, okay? And I want to say to you how thankful I am that you are faithful to the Lord. You don't have to be. There's nothing that says you have to be. God is not making you do it. But because of your love for God, you are faithful. You love this church. You love the people of this church. You love the Lord. You love this community. And so, day in and day out, you're faithful followers of Christ. And I just want to say to you that I appreciate that as your pastor. You're a blessing to my life. But more important that you are a blessing to my life, you are a blessing to God. That's why I said last week, guys, don't stop. This is a message that needs to be preached every week. Persevere. I know so many times we feel like giving up. What's the use? I've been praying for this guy for 30 years and nothing has ever changed. Let me just say, don't give up. Keep persevering. I think about John Getty, the missionary that I talked about at the beginning. He was going into a no-win situation. And I'm sure people said, why are you going there? Those people are going to kill you. But he felt the calling of God to go, and he went. And God was faithful. And many people were won to Christ because he was faithful. I appreciate your faithfulness. And I probably don't tell you that enough. That's why I wanted to tell you today. I was thinking about it as I sat over here. Thank you for your faithfulness. I ask you to keep going on. No matter who you are, or where you're at in your life, or how old you are. Listen, age is just, that's just a number, right? It's just a number. Be faithful in the small things. When we're faithful in the small things, guess what? God gives us bigger things. So don't think that what you're doing amounts to nothing. It amounts to something great. So continue to be faithful to give. Continue to be faithful to serve. Continue to be faithful to come and be a part of our fellowship. Continue to be faithful to pray for those in your families and in your communities and in your neighborhoods that don't know Christ. Continue to be faithful to share the message of God with other people who need to hear. And even though they may not respond, at least you're being faithful. And God will honor that in your life. And the rewards that we receive are not earthly rewards, they're heavenly rewards. And isn't that what we're supposed to be attaining? Because in heaven, the rewards that we get from God, they're not going to rust or turn or tarnish. They're going to remain forever. So be encouraged today. Thank you for your faithfulness. And some people that needed to hear that aren't here today, and they've been faithful. I know they'll be back. Tell them. I'm going to tell them. You tell them as well. Let's be faithful. Let's see what God wants us to do and be faithful in what He's called us to do. Father, we thank You today for the message that You've given us through Your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for the writer of Hebrews. Lord, we don't know who it is. You do. And whoever wrote their book of Hebrews, Lord, was inspired by Your Holy Spirit to speak these words, to write these words down, and they speak to our hearts today. Father, we don't want to be like the unbelieving Israelites who missed out on the promised land because of their stubbornness and their hardened hearts and their rebellion. Lord, we want to be like Caleb and Joshua, who got to enter because of their faithfulness. Father, I'm thankful that You are gracious. And even when we're not faithful, You still love us. You still want to use us. Father, I'm reminded of David, who was a very sinful man. But yet You still chose to use him. You still said, he's a man after My own heart. Father, that gives me hope in my life. I thank You for the faithfulness of our church. I thank You for so many who do so many things. To give, to serve, to love. Father, I pray that You would reward their faithfulness. Father, we love You so much, and we ask that You would just work in our hearts now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.